All right. Good evening, everybody.
So I have to warn you to start off. I do have a video, and it's not going to have any sound or anything, but you don't really need the sound because it's a baseball game. So I will go ahead and start that. If I can find the remote, yeah. And then I'll come back up, I promise. Okay. So, in this video, Andrelton Simmons, the shortstop for the Atlanta Braves, is at bat. He's the one at bat. And there's two men on base and there's one out. This is October 5th, 2012. This is a play-in game for the playoffs against the St. Louis Cardinals, between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves. And so Andrelton Simmons, as you saw in the video, hit kind of a pop-up short into left field. And when that happens, if it happens in the infield and there's two men on base, usually the umpire is alerted to call an infield fly. And that's what he was doing when he raised one finger. And then that's why manager Freddy Gonzalez is giving him the 200th degree right now. So this is kind of what's going on. This is a huge game. As you can see, it's the bottom of the eighth. And this, if he doesn't call an infield fly here, it would mean the bases are loaded with one out. Yeah. And so anyway, this infield fly would give him an out. When the ball hits the grass and the two players are about to collide and they decide not to get the ball, and the umpire calls an infield fly, you'll notice that the ball actually wasn't in the infield when it hit. So for this reason, church, tonight I have a confession to make. I'm holding a grudge. And I'm holding a grudge against Sam Holbrook, the umpire who called the infield fly. You see, I'm not the only Braves fan who was upset about this call. As you can see, during the stoppage of play, while they were making that call, while the umpire was getting yelled at, a lot of Braves fans thought it would be a good idea to show their lack of support, their lack of support, and throw all kinds of trash onto the field. And so as you can see, people are kind of upset. And as a Braves fan, I'm not saying that this would have been, this momentous occasion and we would have even scored this inning, but this call did ruin the momentum for the rest of the game. The St. Louis Cardinals would go on to win, and then they would actually go on. No, that was a year after the World Series, sorry. But anyway, they would go on to go pretty far in the playoffs, and so as a Braves fan, I was really upset about this call because this could have meant a World Series, only the second one in my lifetime as a Braves fan. But anyway, I am holding a grudge against Sam Holbrook, and I needed to tell you guys that tonight. So let's go to Matthew 18. Verses 21 through 35. I will turn there myself and we can. All right. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience on me and I will pay you." He refused, and he went out and put him in prison until he should repay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. You see, this guy in this story that Jesus is telling is holding a grudge. And he's holding a grudge against another guy. And I can kind of, since I'm in a skit group called Ambassadors at school, I kind of tend to take certain situations and kind of form them into kind of a mini skit in my mind. So this is an invitation to kind of see what goes on in this brain, which you might be scared afterwards. But so have you seen the Rob Lowe DirecTV commercials? So my kind of idea is, if you haven't, it's Rob Lowe gets out and he says, "Hi, my name's Rob Lowe and I have DirecTV." And then another Rob Lowe that looks just like him but, you know, has a different costume on says, "And I'm blank Rob Lowe and I have cable." And it's basically talking about all the bad things about having cable versus having DirecTV. And so this little skit goes on in my mind when I read this. It's kind of like if this unforgiving servant could go back in time, how would he explain this situation? So, hi, I'm Rob Lowe, and I owed a lot of money to a king, and I was forgiven. And I had another friend who owed me money, but I forgave him. And with all of that money that I had owed the king that I didn't owe anymore, with all that extra cash that I had, I bought DirecTV. And so this friend occasionally will come over and, you know, we'll go halvesies on a fight or whatever. It's great. And I am unforgiving servant Rob Lowe. And I have cable in my jail cell. Yeah. So I kind of have that kind of idea going on in my head where this guy, if he could go back, he would really like to be here. But he's here right now. And so this servant had been forgiven a huge amount of debt. But sometimes, you know, in biblical numbers and things, it kind of gets confusing. So let's kind of dissect these values here. So a talent, I found out, is worth about 16 years' wages. So if you worked for 16 years, you get the equivalent of a talent. So he owes the king 10,000 talents. I don't know how you could possibly accrue this much debt, but somehow he did. And so is anybody, I'm a Bible major, I'm not a math major. Does anybody know what 10,000 times 16 would be? 160,000. Very good, thank you. So this debt would take 160,000 years to pay off in normal wages. This debt is insurmountable. Have you ever owed somebody 160,000 years of wages? Yeah, I hope not. But so then once he's forgiven this debt that is just absolutely incredible, he goes out and he finds another servant who owes him 100 denarii. Now, a denarii is about one day's wage. So maybe somebody who's less good at math, can you tell me if 100 denarii, if one denarii is a day's wage, 100 denarii is 100 days. Okay, so a little over 3 months. See, I'm learning here. So 3 months' wages is kind of a lot, right? I mean, if Brad, if you owe me 3 months' wages, like, I want the money. I really do. Because that's a quarter of a year, and he's owed a lot of money. But he was just forgiven 160,000 years. This is a huge weight that was lifted off of his back. If you look at the two together, it's astronomical, the difference. And so he orders that guy to be imprisoned. And so his peers, kind of like you and me right now, are going, this isn't right. They notice this, and they see that he's just been forgiven this money, and he's just walking down the street like nothing happened, and then, you know, sees a guy and gets all mad about chump change in comparison. And so they see this, they go and report it to the king, and the king is furious because he just forgave this incredible amount of debt only to watch that same guy go back and choke a guy over nothing. But verse 33, whoops, I dropped my clicker. I'm back. Verse 33 is the key here. Now some guys skip right to 35 where it says, So also I will, my Father will deal with you if you do not forgive others from your heart. And that's a perfectly good verse. But let's look at 33. Don't miss that. Because 33 is going to be the motivation for us not to do what this unforgiving servant did. It says, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? See, whether you know it or not, the unforgiving servant is you. And whether you know it or not, the unforgiving servant is me. See, whether or not you've accepted this forgiveness, a great deal of it has been extended to you. You see, we've all sinned, and the only payment of sin is death. So there's no way that any of us could repay this debt on our own and then live to tell about it. But Christ died and rose again so that you and I could be forgiven of this insurmountable debt and spend eternity in a place that we don't even deserve to smell the aroma of. But Christ punched our ticket anyway. So this morning in the teen class, I shared kind of a little bit of my story. And I talked about how when I was a junior in high school, my dad left. And so we had a lot of dysfunction going on around then. But I didn't talk about some of the abuse that I endured from him for several years before that. Now, I'm not going to get into that tonight. But at Lipscomb, I had this class when I first got there, and this was definitely God wanting me in this class because as I was signing up for all my classes at Lipscomb as a freshman, I had to take a class called Senior Seminar, and this counted for, or I'm sorry, Freshman Seminar. Senior Seminar would be crazy. Freshman Seminar. And so I had to take a class that was kind of an intro into college. A lot of schools do this kind of orientation type thing. And this also accounted for my English credit. And so we read a lot of books and everything, and the only one that I could get into was a class called 70 times 7. And it's kind of interesting because at this point, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad. I wasn't talking to him at all. And I kind of decided, you know, that we're done, and I'm cutting off all ties. And then God throws me in a class called 70 times 7, which, interestingly enough, is about forgiveness. And we read stories. We read a book called Amish Grace about the forgiveness of the Amish that were extended to the person who was responsible for the Amish school shootings. We read and watched news articles, watched documentaries about this woman who was part of the Mengele twin studies in the Holocaust and had lost her twin and then found the courage to forgive Dr. Mengele and some of his guards and everything that she met. We read countless stories about this forgiveness, and then at the end we had to write a paper about whether or not, you know, forgiveness is right, whether or not even we're capable of this. And so throughout this class, throughout learning about all of this stuff, I knew that God was putting it in my heart to forgive my dad. And so I went and talked to him, and you know, I was excited, I was ready to forgive him and everything, and then he didn't understand what I was forgiving him for. But even though that hurt, even though when I said, I forgive you, he said, for what? Even though that really hurt in that moment, I also realized in that moment that I had a choice. And I had a choice to continue holding that grudge and continue bearing the weight of that, or I could let it go. I could still choose to forgive him. I could choose to be free of that burden, even without him accepting that forgiveness. And I also learned that it's not a one-time thing. When Jesus, at the beginning of this, says that, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 7 times, or 70 times seven, depending on your translation. When he talks about this, he's saying, this is an everyday thing sometimes. And this can sometimes be something that you think about it every time you think about what's happened. And so this is in place, really, so because we forget sometimes to let go of this burden. We forget sometimes and we try and pick it back up. You see, we all hold grudges. Now, I told you earlier that I'm holding a grudge against Sam Holbrook, the MLB umpire who called an infield fly in the outfield. But compared to the grudges I've held, including the one I just told you about, that's nothing. That's absolute chump change. Now, I don't know what it is with you. I don't know if you know, you have a grudge against somebody. I don't know what kind of beef you have with anybody else. But the message is simply this. Don't be like this guy. Don't be like this guy. He was forgiven an incredible amount of money. And since he was forgiven this incredible amount of money, he should have been able to forgive the small amount that he had been owed. There's an old adage that I've heard, and maybe some of you can correct me on this because I just did it from memory. It says, holding a grudge is a lot like drinking poison and hoping that the other person will die. This is counterproductive. And you're only hurting yourself more. And forgiveness is less about the other person's peace and more about your inner peace and more about your relationship with God. You see, whatever grudge you might be holding weighs a lot less than the debt that you owed that the king forgave. And this morning we kind of talked about discipleship and kingdom living. And Jesus is giving us an example of living like a citizen of the kingdom here. Citizens of the kingdom are expected to forgive because we have been forgiven much. Citizens of the kingdom are expected to love because we are loved much. My prayer is that we are a people of grace because the king that we serve is a gracious king. See, maybe you're here tonight and you've been holding a grudge that you need to release yourself from. Maybe you need forgiveness yourself for something that you've done. Maybe you haven't taken advantage of this ultimate forgiveness that is available to you through Christ. Maybe you want to put him on in baptism. Or maybe you just need prayer. And whatever it is, we're here to help you do that. And so if you need prayer, if you want to be baptized, if you just need to talk to anybody tonight, why don't you come on down to the front?